Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch and Spreaker bring you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Friday Night SmackDown on Fox.
All right, well, Kelly, it's official. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, WrestleMania main event. It's going to be night two. Both titles on the line in a unification match. We joked off air a little earlier today about your expertise with contract signings in WWE. How do you think this one went, given your history with these and Torch analysis?
When I am called to do one of these main roster shows, there is always a contract signing. If you want to hear someone talk about two dudes sitting, I'm your man. So, this was fine. I don't know. What's the best case scenario for a contract signing? I'm not even sure what that is. The best case scenario, it doesn't have to be a contract signing. It can be anything. It's just an excuse to get the guys face-to-face in a situation that will have no physicality between them, but almost certainly will have physicality in some way. I have to say this was relatively successful. Roman was properly self-aggrandizing on just an otherworldly level this time, talking about how everything is his. I liked that stuff quite a bit. And I dug what Brock, again, Farm Boy Brock, kept it simple and made a lot of really, really specific threats. And, of course, Paul Heyman shined in what was practically a night off for him because he spoke less than usual. But I have had it with you, sir. Had it. I just love how he's just like he's some kind of annoyed teacher or something like that. And he gave Brock half credit for defeating The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I thought that this worked pretty well all around. I'm still not sure. I hope I have not seen the best contract signing that I will ever see in my life. Because I don't know which one I'd choose.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
This was successful. This probably, on a pretty bland episode of SmackDown, I thought was probably the best segment they produced.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too, and I'm right there with you. I thought, you know, as you said, there's how many different ways can you do a contract signing these days after WWE has broken them out so often for big feuds, small feuds, everything in between. I too thought this was effective in. I mean, and look, we know this is a big match. You know, yes, they told us it over and over again for two straight hours that it was the biggest match in WrestleMania history, biggest match ever. You know, I don't know if I'd go that far, obviously, but it certainly is a big one. And I think, you know, having Roman Reigns out there, really, like you said, he laid it on thick when it was his turn to go and get heat for the angle and for the match. I mean, it worked. I mean, he put a lot into that, and the fans came along with him and gave him the booze that he was looking for. So I thought he had a great night in particular. And even when he wasn't talking, I thought just his kind of dismissive demeanor, sitting in the chair, just kind of staring a hole through Brock Lesnar, but not being fazed much at all by what Lesnar said, really put Reigns on Brock's level. Lesnar was good in his role too. Like the fiery babyface out there saying exactly what he's going to do at WrestleMania. I'm going to kick your ass and then I'm going to kick your ass. Like I just thought it all worked. One of the things that struck me as they were going through this was like, you WrestleMania isn't in a few days. You know, it's 5 weeks away. You know, gosh, did they play this card too soon? I mean, because this could have been, you know, a go home segment for WrestleMania and for this feud, and they played it here. I don't know what else they have in mind, but I thought it was that effective where it could have served as that last angle going into the match at Mania.
Yeah, practically everything they're doing feels very underdeveloped, except for this, which is probably overdeveloped. And if you're going to overdevelop a match, it is your main event that you want to overdevelop. So that makes sense from that standpoint. The need to refer to this as the biggest match of all time, the biggest WrestleMania of all time, is so – it's like that's the kind of thing you do – that's the kind of thing you say this company will do to make fun of them. It's not supposed to be what they actually do. It's like the Saturday Night Live version of them calling everything the biggest, like calling Edge versus Randy Orton the greatest wrestling match of all time. 2 months before it had been wrestled or whatever they did. These statements are said in earnest by Vince, Bruce, whoever. But they really feel like a troll job. They genuinely feel like they're just poking our type of fan because they know it gets a rise out of us. It really feels that way.
Well, and it's just like, you know, it's just, to me, it's just obnoxious. I mean, plain and simple. Because on top of that, then you've got this whole stupendous thing going on in all the marketing. So it's going to be a stupendous two-night event with the biggest match of all time. It's just like, you know, come on. I mean, WWE is not known, obviously, for, you know, going halfway with this stuff. But, I mean, there's 5 weeks left to go until WrestleMania. And, you know, that's a long time of getting beat over the head, and not just fans like us, but any fan out there. I mean, it's a long time to beat somebody over the head with, hey, this is going to be the greatest WrestleMania match ever, the biggest WrestleMania match ever. So I'm with you on that. It's almost a little bit laughable. Just let it breathe. Let it breathe. Let it just be what it's going to be and take on a life of its own. The need to kind of define and market every little piece of WrestleMania in particular, I think it takes some of the rawness away from it, which I think is important to pro wrestling in general.
Every January 1st, every new year, Vince celebrates by breaking out his thesaurus, and he goes, oh, stupendous, a superlative I haven't used. And for the next 3 months, it's all he'll say to everybody in his life, and they're like, just – let the baby have his bottle. He needs this. You can't stop it. You can just hope to contain it.
Yeah. Yep. Tonight, Kelly, they for a while it was, hey, it's winner take all. Both titles are going to be on the line, but no verbiage or explanation as to whether or not it's going to be an actual title unification match. Well, we got that closed for us tonight. It will be a unification match at WrestleMania. We'll get into this topic with callers too here in a minute, but I just want to get your take on that idea and that concept. I mean, there's a lot to juggle there, but you know, here about 17 minutes after SmackDown wraps up, I mean, where are you at with presumably WWE moving forward with one world title, at least for a little while?
Yeah, I look forward to 6 or 8 months from now when they decide they need one on each show, and we just start the cycle over again. If they're going to do a brand split, a proper brand split, then yeah, there should be two championships. And I also was in favor of the single branded pay-per-views, though I understand if you're trying to make as much money as possible, that doesn't make sense. I get it. I was just into them, but I was going to watch them regardless. I think a wrestling company works best when there is one championship at the very top. There's no doubt at which championship that is, and there is just one. I think that your champion pops a whole lot more when there is just one. So from that standpoint, I think that this is proper. They have also leaned their roster so much, just cut out so much of their roster. I almost think it has to be a unification of the two brands, which could be real, real tough for some of the people just skirting the edges of the lower undercard. It just could be a real problem for them. And some of these, and even some of these mid-carders are just going to have a really hard time even getting the TV time. That could be problematic. But I, in unifying this title, it does feel different in that the number of cuts they've made over the last 2 years really does make it seem like they're trying to go back to even further into the basics and have just one roster that's on every show.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot, I think, of, you know, confusion around this. I mean, this, to me, this is not something that you could just throw around without any real explanation. Like, I think part of selling this match is, okay, yeah, you're going to unify the belts, but what does that mean after that? Like, is the champion going to be on both shows? Like, how, like, I think WWE should define what that new undisputed champion's role is within the company. Because I think if nothing else, it just makes – it just creates higher stakes. Like, okay, yes, you're the unified champion, but you're also going to have X, Y, and Z. You know, you're also going to be on these shows or those shows. Or you're not going to be on both shows. You know, whatever. But I think part of the story here that I would like to see told, if you're going to go this route, is – you know, what does being the undisputed champion mean post WrestleMania? And then it's like you have all these other champions running around WWE. You got a Raw Women's Champion and a SmackDown Women's Champion. So is there going to be one Men's World Champion but two Women's World Champions? So I'd like to see that addressed at some point as well. Obviously, this news just broke today, so you know we can give WWE a bit of a break here as far as you know. Like telling their audience what all this means. But I will say this. I do think, you know, we should debate, okay, is this unification match a good idea? Is it not? That's one discussion. But the other discussion is that I think this kind of stipulation does a positive service to is Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. Like, I think it adds additional intrigue. I think it adds, again, higher stakes, more drama. I mean, we've been here and done this so many times with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns that, you know, it's hard to make the feud feel fresh. And they've done a nice job because they've flipped roles. This, to me, Kelly, adds something even more significant on top of that. And I think for that reason, I think this is the kind of match that you want to break this type of gimmick out for.
Yeah, the other option besides saying this is a permanent, it's the beginning of these two rosters being put together, is there is no plan, and this was done for short-term gain to add sizzle to a match that they maybe felt needed it, and they'll think about the fallout later, and they don't have to think about it now. Because if that means that 3 months from now they're having another tournament to crown a champion, I love tournaments, so I would tune in for that. Or maybe they'll just put it up in a Money in the Bank match. I don't know, but I could very easily see this either way. But I hope if the idea is, okay, we're just unifying for now because that's what we needed for this match. I hope there's a plan already, because this company and thinking on its feet is it causes so many problems. I don't know. I would half love to see just – I mean, this company has bled so much goodwill out over the last couple of years. Like, what if this ended – in a draw, and they walked out with their champions. Like, if you want to watch the world burn, folks, you gotta love that outcome, because the booze that would rain down, I mean, that would beat the Goldberg Lesnar booze.
Oh man, yes.
I don't think you can top it if they did a draw here.
No, God, you know, Kelly, I'm gonna have to mute you here in a minute because we don't want that out in the universe. Oh man, all right, well let's get to some callers here. We'll see what everybody else's take is on the big unification match news and the press conference, contract signing. We also had some Ronda Rousey stuff that I want to make sure that we get into. But for right now, we'll take a quick second pause and set the table for the show, and then we'll start taking those calls. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show covering the February 25th, 2022 edition of WWE SmackDown. I'm PW Torch's assistant editor, Zach Haydorn, filling in for Wade. Wade will be on the VIP side of things, running things down on the Wade Keller hotline, all things SmackDown, giving his take on the unification match and everything else that happened tonight. Go VIP and check that show out, pwtorch.com/govip. I think you'll be happy to give that a try, and we certainly would appreciate the support and your business. There's a lot there for VIP members. Ad-free version of the website, 30-plus years of archives and newsletters, and a host of really great podcasts that cover all parts and all different companies and all different styles of pro wrestling. So go VIP. Give us a chance. pwtorch.com/govip. The other voice you hear with me tonight is Kelly Wells from PWT Talks NXT on the PW Torch Daily Cast. Kelly, great talking to you, man. Welcome into the show.
I'm all the heck over the VIP site. You can hear me
there.
I'm the host of PWT Talks NXT, which of course is a free one, but also there, ad-free. I'm the host of NXT 8 Years Back, a show that I'm liking to watch much more than current NXT, which I am just barely tolerating. I was also just 7 days ago on the Rampage post show. So my Fridays, you're getting me one way or another, apparently, because last week I did Rampage with Tyler, where a lot more wrestling minutes and seeming building blocks towards storylines actually happened in the 2 hours we watched tonight. Yeah, it's how can you say so little when you got so much time? I don't know. But as stated, that main event segment was good.
I'm just glad I was able to book you for tonight, man. I mean, all this action that you had. I mean, it's a. I don't know. I'm holding a lucky horseshoe or something.
Right.
But good to have you, man. It's you and I have spent a lot of time talking New Japan when we've done shows together. So it's fun to kind of bring open the WWE wall here and talk some things. Let's open the phones. 347-215-8558 is our number tonight. 347-215-8558. Please press 1 when you're in the queue to let me know that you want to talk. If you don't want to talk to us tonight, but you do want to participate in the show, you can send us an email. It's at wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. That's wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. Kelly and I will monitor that and get to some emails a little bit later as they come in. But with that said, we'll go ahead and take the first call here tonight. And we'll start first with Ryan in Cumberland, Maryland. Ryan, excuse me. Welcome to the show. What did you think of SmackDown?
Oh, it's always great during WrestleMania season because they turn it up a little bit during those nights, I believe.
Yeah. They absolutely do, and I think it's certainly an exciting time. If you're gonna watch WWE television, like now's the time to do it. Ryan, what questions did you have for us tonight, man?
Okay, my first question's on Roman Reigns. Do you think he'll wrestle on SmackDown before WrestleMania? And like, who would that be against? Do you think,
Kelly? What do you think?
I don't know who's left that makes a TV worthy opponent. The only way I see him working a match is if they do some cheeky thing where he's having a tune-up and it's literally like a local nobody, and then maybe Brock distracts. I mean, I know distraction, but maybe he distracts Roman and the guy gets like a quick near fall on him before Roman does take over and get pissed off and win that match. I have been in favor of this version of Roman essentially being pay to play, not working a lot of match. Like, we get our fill of him, and maybe we see him, you know, maybe in a six man with the Usos. They play that card sometimes too. But I don't think they can throw away too many free TV matches for him unless he's worked extensively with the other party already and it's not something that's fresh, because they've gotten a lot of mileage out of this. I mean, you're not supposed to get this many days in a title reign for a weekly TV show of 2 hours in this day and age. You're just not. They have had to have guys take turns getting pushed, guys like Cesaro, just to get a championship match for Roman that feels like it has even the tiniest bit of doubt. I mean, a savvy viewer knows he was never going to lose that match, but they've got to extend that, get it to WrestleMania somehow. If they don't have the absolute perfect opponent, and I don't see one, I would say no, just don't have him work any TV matches between now and then.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think about, like, you could do a six-man, and you can, like, there's stuff that you could do, obviously, but I just don't know what purpose it would serve, you know, at this point. I mean, you're building towards Brock versus Roman. Like, you know, you're not going to have that match or any iteration of it, because I don't think Lesnar's not – I don't think he's going to be working a TV match prior to WrestleMania either. So I just don't know to what end it's meaningful. It'd be like you're doing it just to do it. And I think, like, in, like, real-world stuff, like business stuff, you can't risk Roman Reigns going out there and whatever, injuring himself, even if it's just like he kind of gets dinged up. I mean, as you said, Kelly, you've got a lot invested in this, and you've told this story for a long, long time. You know, Roman Reigns is clicking on all cylinders, been a champion for a while. Like, you need to pay this off. And I think you want to pay it off with what should be, you know, an epic match. Like, I don't think to me, this can't be, you know, Suplex City, a couple spears, and then go home at WrestleMania. Like, I think this has to be more significant than that. And so you want both guys just to be fresh and protected. And I think, you know, they're as hot as they're going to be as stars right now, anyway, in this version of WWE. So I don't think you want to risk anything to hurt that, especially if it can't help build the feud. So yeah, Ryan, I just don't think that's on the table. Brock's going to wrestle, you know, on March 5th at Madison Square Garden. My guess is, like, since they've already announced this match and already put so much into it, it's going to be kind of more of a jobber-esque type match than something significant. So yeah, I think we'll see him go to work on March 5th, and then, you know, they'll collide in April, but I just don't see a reason for it, Ryan.
Okay. My second question is on the big debut tonight of Xia Li. Is there a reason why they kept her off, like, debuting? Because they had, you know, done these promotional videos of her, like, a few months ago, but now they're just getting around to having her do a match.
Yeah, Kelly, her introduction into the main roster was a bit bizarre. You know, they ran some vignettes for her and hyped, you know, put some hype around her debut. And then the first time you see her, she just came to the aid of somebody in the ring, I believe, who was getting beat up. And then she kind of faded away, disappeared, and now she's coming back. So not necessarily, like, you know, I don't think the audience is supposed to have or does have right now a clear indication of just what is on tap for her on the main roster. But I think she's, you know, she's presented in a pretty big way. I mean, she's got a fancy entrance. You know, I think that's important in trying to decipher, you know, who's you know, getting attention and who isn't. She got a win tonight. So I think she's kind of there now, where, like, let's just forget about that earlier debut. This was it, and we go forward from here. But I don't know how high of a ceiling she has on the main roster, Kelly, but I think so far, you know, she's going to be a mid-card player in the women's division, I think.
Yeah, we know that the glass ceiling is very, very solid in the women's division on SmackDown, especially right now. So I don't know how high she can go either. I don't know if they know. I feel like the redirection and the lack of TV time was them just not necessarily knowing how they wanted to use her. She worked as a babyface and a heel on NXT, both for extended amounts of time. I genuinely liked her more as a heel, even though she's a very likable babyface. I think she can work either way. She's very perky. She's a lot of fun. She's got a great Instagram. Just seems to enjoy life, does Xylee. But I just feel like there's no real tweak, but they call her the protector, which is, I guess, maybe a nod to her supposed-to-be-forgotten debut. It seemed like it was just thrown out there, maybe not to die, but it's just a little litmus test, and I don't know what we're supposed to take from it at all. There's no sign of what's coming next, and I thought she looks fine. When you go out there and a new baby face has climbed a small hill, they give them Natalia. That's who they get. By the way, not going to get used to her not wearing pink. That is one person whose gear cannot change on me. That just doesn't work. almost everybody else, it's fine. But I thought she acquitted herself just fine. Don't know why she was off, but hope they find something for her and allow her to maybe find her way to as near the top as she can get. Because we know that they'll just let somebody flounder, and then it's Shotzi a few months later, lost her partner, and is out there losing meaningless three-minute matches.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I want to be on the side of like, hey, I think that I don't know that she's not going to be, I don't think at this point, somebody who is going to carry the women's division on SmackDown. I don't think that's going to be her role. And so at best, I think she's going to fall someplace in the middle of the card in the women's division at best. But that said, I think the drop is significant for her, or could be significant, in that she's already merged right into the lane of traffic. Like, I just have trouble seeing her figuring out ways to stand out. Like, she's got the entrance. That's good. That tells you that they're putting some effort behind it, but like her introduction from a booking perspective is just all over the place. And it does tell you like, hey, we don't really know what to do. So let's do this. Let's change it. Let's pivot. I suppose, you know, in 2 weeks time that they could be going a different direction. And so I think if you see, or we start to see some sort of consistency with how they present her, how they book her, okay, is she going to go on a winning streak? When's her first real feud? Like, if you start like checking some of those boxes, I think we'll be able to decipher where she's at a little bit more, Ryan. But until then, like, it's kind of like a week by week thing, because that's how they've treated her to this point, unfortunately.
My final question is on, both Ronda Rousey and Johnny Knoxville. Do you know who's working with them as far as getting them ready for their marquee WrestleMania matches? Because that's pretty important match she needed to be involved in. I heard Ronda got a ring, but did she get like a trainer too, like a Tom Pritchard or like a Nightmare Danny Davis to work with when she got the ring?
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know for sure on either one, as far as definitive, like specific coaches or trainers that they've got. I know TJ Wilson does a lot in terms of, working with the women's division on their big championship matches. So my guess is that he'll have some involvement in how that match plays out, not so much from a training perspective, but just putting the match together, maybe rehearsing the match and whatnot. My guess is he'll be very close to that. As far as Johnny Knoxville goes, I mean, he's working with Sami Zayn for one thing. I mean, right there, you're pretty much taken care of as best as you're going to be for a celebrity wrestler. So, he's in pretty good hands as far as that goes. Kelly, have you heard any reporting on that or have any additional insight?
When Ronda first showed up, I remember hearing reports that she was working heavily with Natalya, which probably should be no surprise, really. Who else would it be to start walking her through stuff? That's Natalya's real life role. Like, her being an on-screen character is just gravy. I think that so much of what she does, even though, yes, she is the all-time leader in wins for the women, is to make these women look good both inside the ring and when they're training. So I remember hearing that when Ronda first showed up. I don't have any reason to disbelieve it and found it extremely easy to imagine that was the case. With Knoxville, I mean, some of it, like, he knows how to do the pro wrestling grift more or less. He's been taking bumps since longer than some of these guys have been alive. And he's a bit of a carnival barker himself. He knows how to work a crowd. He's not in practice. He's not out there doing it every day. And when he's out there with Sami Zayn, you really do see the chasm that is between Sami Zayn and just about any normal person, let alone one who kind of knows what they're doing out there. So I don't know who would be working with Knoxville, but given that he's in the feud with Sami Zayn, I wouldn't hesitate to guess that Sammy's just taking a lot of that on himself.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it makes sense. You know, I mean, I think, like, look, if you think about if there's a list of guys that you would, if Sami Zayn was not involved in this at all, but you had a celebrity coming in, Sami Zayn would be high on that list of people to put with that celebrity to get them ready. In this case, it just so happened that he is in it. So, yeah, Ryan, I think that's where I'd put my money if I was a betting man as far as wrestling was concerned. Ryan, anything else for us tonight, man? Thanks for the call, as always.
Yeah, my final comments on Roman Reigns. I know he has a bunch of matches supposedly happening with Drew McIntyre on the house show, so I could say hopefully he doesn't get dropped on his head like Riddick Moss did, because it looked pretty brutal showing that replay.
Oh man, yeah, that was a brutal bump. I mean, I still, like, seeing the replay, Kelly, I still don't know how he's still standing. Like, it looked bad in real time. It looked even worse when they slowed it down. And it's just, I'm just, you know, happy that he's healthy. I mean, that was some scary stuff. And an example of why you don't want to put Roman Reigns in situations where he could potentially get hurt ahead of a big match.
If I had seen that bump, that bad bump before the show, like immediately before the show, for the first time, I would have said, oh, Riddick Moss is dead. So who's going to be in this match?
Yes.
Obviously, you can't make it through that. That is just, you make it through that by having the kind of work done on your traps and that part of your body, like somebody like Moss. He's tailor-made. Well, if anyone's tailor-made to take that kind of bump and to live to tell the tale, Moss is the kind of guy, because he's just worked up that kind of strength. That's why, even though in Japan, guys are getting dropped on their heads constantly, the injuries don't happen all that often, because so much of what they do is working on that part of the physique. And they can absorb that kind of thing in a way that most American wrestlers don't, because that's not the focus, not only of a match, but of the body.
Yeah, well said. Ryan, thank you. Appreciate it as always, man. Thanks for calling, and call again soon.
Okay, thanks for taking the call.
Oh, no problem. Let's keep the calls rolling here. 347-215-8558. If you want to get into the conversation, 347-215-8558. We'll go next to Kyle from Baltimore. Kyle, welcome on into the show. What'd you think of SmackDown?
It was pretty good. I think the only thing that really piqued my interest was Sasha Banks returning again. And, you know, kind of think her keep returning over and over again, because she just return and stay. Kind of seems like she keep returning every since the summer last year. So there's been a recurring theme with her returning. So hopefully she'll just stay and don't go anywhere and be done with it. But while she's back again, and hopefully, so that's good. But she's back. I'm glad to see her again. She's going to be teamed with Naomi, apparently, to be going after the Tag Team Championship, which is fine. But it's interesting, because to me, I was going to say when it comes to Sasha and Becky and Charlotte, when they debuted, I was 2015 when they debuted. So I never really watched them in NXT, but when it came up to the main roster, I was like, it was Becky and Sasha that I saw them too. Like, I like them too a lot. I don't know, something about them I really enjoyed. And then watching Sasha throughout the years, first with her feuding with Charlotte, and then her just style and her promos, everything about her, she's a scream star. And then with Becky, it was her turn into the man. That's when she finally became more interesting and more good. Because they were finally doing it with her, had nothing to that time. But my point is that when both of them are on screen, they get my attention. And so with Sasha, she's there. And I think she's the best ever. And then I was thinking to myself, man, I wish this was Sasha and Charlotte ever as me and that Ronda, because Ronda's not really doing it for me the entire theme with Ronda and Charlotte. Is it all that interesting compared to Becky and Bianca? And I know it's a Raw theme, but with Becky and Bianca, the whole reason why they're doing the match is to ride around for SummerSlam. So because that's pretty much it. And a lot of people are not really talking about that, which is weird, because it's where it kind of started from. And it's kind of a weak story, but I know the match is going to be good with Charlotte and Ronda. Why are they facing each other? Because of what happened at Survivor Series 2018, and they're just wrestling. And so far, Ronda hasn't really done anything interesting in the ring. So that's going to suck. Either way, I'm going all over the place. But what do you think about that whole with Sasha coming back and all that stuff with the women's division with that those two situations?
Yeah, good topic, Kyle. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the women's division. A couple developments there that I think we definitely should get into. Kelly, let's take the Sasha Banks stuff first. You know, she's in an interesting spot this year as far as WrestleMania goes, just because, you know, she has been in and out of I don't want to say she's been inactive. She's just not been like a featured star here since about SummerSlam. Like, you know, here and there, of course, yes, but like she hasn't been like the center point of a lot of what's been going on in the women's division. And so, you know, coming off what she did last year with the big main event against Bianca Belair and the great match that they had and the momentum that she had coming out of that, she's kind of like, I don't know, fallen quite a bit down the card. I don't think she's lost any popularity, but I mean, a tag team match for the women's tag titles that really are grasping at anything left to hang on to in terms of relevance in WWE. It's just, I don't know. I just think that there's more you could do with Sasha Banks. I mean, even if it's just some sort of like interpromotional match against Rhea Ripley, I think is more WrestleMania worthy than her, you know, in a multi-team or even just a regular tag team title match. I just don't know that that's the best business use of Sasha Banks, giving her the mainstream appeal that she has and something that WWE looks to include at WrestleMania every year.
I mean, you give Carmella a championship, you're basically conceding that the championship doesn't matter. That's how I feel about where those championships are, and that's how I feel about Carmella. But, it's too bad. I will echo, by the way, what Kyle says about promoting everything as a return. I found it very, very tiring for, I don't know, an 8-10 year span, when every time The Undertaker was on TV, they talked about his return to television. I remember one pay-per-view where they said this is his first SmackDown since the pay-per-view where he lost his championship or whatever. And I was like, yeah, but he was on SmackDown last week. Like, literally last week. This is no this is no return. When you're the boy who cried return, suddenly people stop listening. It's unfortunate. I think that kind of start-stop isn't helping her. Great for her that she got the gig on The Mandalorian, but that's not going to help you maintain your spot if you're gone for a while. I'm all for her having a better spot, but I'm not sure what that is. I don't want to make either of these matches a triple threat. To get Charlotte Ronda out of the way, where he says, I don't know why they're having a match. They're having a match because that's what Vince wants to see. That's why
well,
this
I get
match
that part
is happening.
I get that part.
Yeah,
of like the whole is, you know.
Yeah, in kayfabe. Yeah, I totally know what you mean. But yes, they haven't given that the proper sizzle, and it's very hard for them to do because Ronda's acting is really, really limited. Really limited, and it's not seemingly getting a lot better. So it's hard for her. Really, the best use of her is a quiet badass heel, but that's not the way you're running with her right now. So you've got to give her some mic time, and it's just not really working. Sasha's big. It's a big question with Sasha what to do. I feel like they could have just kept her off TV if they didn't have anything to do with her, and then regroup when it was time to promote her in a big way again. Because honestly, being on TV in a diminished role and a middling and not all that important role where she's slumming it for the tag team championships that have obviously not meant anything to the bookers in a long time, that might be worse than not being on at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point about Sasha. Like, what else do you do, you know, with her at this point? I mean, and she can elevate Naomi, you know, if she's out there, give Naomi something to do at WrestleMania too. As far as the Charlotte and Ronda situation, you know, like, I think I'm more okay with this match, I think, than you guys are, just because you need to pay off Becky versus Bianca. Like, I kind of stipulate to that first. Like, you have that going on. And so I think because of that, you don't want to completely undercut Bianca Belair and jump right to Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch. I mean, I still think that they will get to that match while Rousey is under contract. I think she signed for a year. So I think she's got two WrestleManias under her belt. So I think we're going to get that, but I think you had some other logs in the fire that you had to tend to first. As far as the execution of this goes, the writing's on the wall for WWE, Kelly, to try to main event the first night with this match. You know, you have a big women's match one night in the main event, and obviously Lesnar Reigns, big men's match in the other. This match is not hot enough yet to be in that spot, to occupy that spot. It just isn't. I mean, I think both Charlotte and Ronda have yet to show any kind of chemistry together. It very much feels like they're going through the motions out there, doing what they have to do to get through the segments, but that's it. I don't get the sense that there's any sort of heat between the two of them. I'm not buying, you know, Ronda Rousey and what she says about her return. Like, so much of it, even though I think it's the right match to have if you're going to have Rousey here and you're going to have Bianca and Becky going on at the same time. I think it's the right one to have, but it's just not at a point right now where it can even, in my opinion, even be talked about to be in that main event slot, even though it might be. And I look at the performances of Charlotte and Ronda as a reason why. They just seem to me to be uninspired right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kyle, back to you.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of true. I'm watching Becky and Bianca. They have great chemistry together in on the mic and in the ring. They're both great on the mic. That's why they're both my favorite. I love both Bianca and Becky. I love Becky more because I watch her longer, but Bianca is really good. So it's like, it's just an interesting thing how I said this before, but when with Becky as a heel, she's really better as a heel than Charlotte because she elevates whoever she's facing at WrestleMania. Even though she's doing it in a heel way, she's still so entertaining more. I don't know. It's just everything what Becky does is great. Everything that Charlotte does is just she doesn't care about anyone else but herself, and that's what kind of what Becky said before in her promos last year, had into their match at Survivor last year. So it's like a whole thing where I still don't know why Charlotte is champion. She's champion for no reason at this point. I think it's just a whole problem, and he quickly put that title back on Sasha as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, but yeah, I'll move on to the last thing I'll talk about is Roman Reigns and Lesnar. It's just this match I can just – it's I feel like WrestleMania to me with the top three matches, it's just as far as I'm concerned, they're just doing – they're doing Becky and Bianca because of what happened at SummerSlam, and a lot of people are not really bringing that up because that's the whole reason why. Had that moment never happened, will people be clamoring for Bianca and Becky that hard? They probably will, but that's the main reason why they're doing the match to do the stakes thing with Ronda and Charlotte because of mainstream. For Lesnar and Reigns, as far as I'm concerned, I think Roman Reigns is great. I became a big fan of his when he became a heel, and I could care less for Lesnar, honestly. But I do worry. So think back to their match at WrestleMania 34 and how bad that match was. But I also remember the match for WrestleMania 31 before Rollins got involved. It was a good match before Rollins got involved. So probably could be a good match too. But it's just. I can't help but to think after WrestleMania, then what? I've been saying this since this match has started. So that's my two cents of the Reigns and Lesnar thing. I just personally, for me, I could just care less about it, even though it's the main focus. But it's just not for me. So I just, but what do you think about that entire situation of the story heading into WrestleMania with all three of those top championship matches at WrestleMania so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think. Look, I mean, WrestleMania, it's a lot of things now. You know, it's the biggest wrestling show of the year, but it's also, you know, WWE's time as a corporation to show off, and they want to, and they don't, and I think we've seen throughout the last few years that they don't necessarily care what that means for fans or storylines or what have you in order to do that. So there's a lot of, you know, people that they need to serve with this event. Looking at the landscape, Kelly, I don't know how many different directions you could take things this year. I mean, Brock versus Roman was an obvious choice. And I think you saw that the writing on the wall for that for quite some time. You know, you could have gone with Becky and Ronda, but you're going with Becky and Bianca instead, which opens up Charlotte, who's going to have a big match at WrestleMania no matter what. So you've got that ironed out. So I don't, you know, Kelly, I think I'm okay with where they're at. To me, it's just, they need to build the matches better. Like, it's not necessarily, I have a problem with the people that are in them. It's just a lot of them feel cold right now.
They're, so with these three matches, I am into Reigns Lesnar, but so much of that is thanks to the building block that they laid tonight. That helped a lot. Also, very interested in it because of the question that it raises for unification and what happens after that. So a large part of this is due to the stakes involved. I think I'm inwardly talking myself into the idea that Reigns wins this, because then, now that he's got two shows, the guy who ran out of fresh opponents now has some.
yep.
So you can do it that way. I also think Brock is maybe a little damaged with a lot of short reigns. And Roman's is so much more worth protecting. I've always advocated, when a heel has the top championship for this long, that the person who wins it should enjoy some kind of rub from it. And Lesnar is the one guy who can't get a rub from Roman, because he's the only guy who's a bigger star. So I would love for it to be somebody else. But then it also gets to a point where it's been so long, who else do you do? I mean, who else feels like they're big enough to be the person? And it just seems like that's kind of been the way it is. Bianca and Becky, I think, will be wonderful. They do work well together. I have no doubt that the plan for night one main event of WrestleMania is probably Charlotte Ronda. But if they are open to calling an audible, and we know that they are because they've done it before, they should make it Becky Bianca all day long. No disrespect, but Charlotte and Ronda just isn't popping. Ronda's not good in that babyface role. And Charlotte as a heel, I mean, she can do it, but she is, as Kyle stated, the type of heel who sort of sucks the life out of the babyface, that sucks all the babyface out of the babyface. Whether it's because she's no selling in her personality, or for all the things that she as a heel does, it doesn't seem like she gives enough to her opponent. And I'm glad he brought that up, because that is something I've felt is like one of the only real holes in her game, but it's a big one for many, many years now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. I agree. Unless something happens in the next 5 weeks to really juice this Charlotte Ronda thing up. I mean, I just don't think it's in a position to main event, even if you wanted it to. I mean, you have to look in the mirror on some of this stuff and go, all right, we want it this way, but can it actually be this way? And as of right now, I think that answer is no. We'll see. Kyle, thank you very much. Great call as always, man. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Well, lastly is that I do hope that Becky and Bianca have a main event, because that is the most interesting story heading into WrestleMania as far as I'm concerned, but that's it. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for making it. All right, we'll go next to 609. 609, you are up. State your name and where you're calling from.
What's up, guys? It's Mike from Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Hey, Mike. Good to hear from you. What's your thoughts on SmackDown tonight?
It was pretty good when it comes to, you know, pumping up WrestleMania. But to follow up on the Sasha Banks topic, yeah, I'm disappointed that we don't have a bigger match for her at WrestleMania. I mean, I was hoping, I don't know if you guys heard of the rumor, but there was a rumor that Sasha was going to face Lita. And I think that would have been a great match, because Becky and Lita was so good. You know, I definitely think Sasha and Lita would have, you know, killed it out there. Did you guys hear anything about that match? What are your thoughts on that?
I didn't hear that rumor or seen, you know, official reporting on that. But yeah, like that's kind of what I was thinking. Like find a match like that for her. I think that would play really nicely. It's kind of like, you know, it kind of serves, you know, to fill the spot of like an Edge AJ, like what that will be on a card, but just in the women's division, like, you know, a legend like Lita against, you know, one of the best women's workers in the world today in Sasha Banks. I mean, that I think is something that you could shoot for. I mean, it doesn't look like they're going that route, but Kelly, I'm all in on that.
Yeah. I don't think to this day, they really think about having a women's match, a singles match away from a championship on a show as big as WrestleMania. I think they still balk at that They've happened, but it doesn't seem to be a focus. And that indeed would be seemingly a match that could sell more tickets than a tag team championship match. And I guess the question then becomes, is do you take Sasha and give her a great match because she's earned one, or do you use Sasha, who's already got so much goodwill built up, and elevate a title that's dead in the water, hoping that her presence can do so? Because Sasha and Naomi would be so much better for the championship than where they are now. So, because how could you not?
It's a low bar to clear, but yeah.
Yes, it is. For me, Carmella is not, she's not WrestleMania worthy at all. Not in any form, not in any match. But if you're going to, I guess the way I could try to justify this, assuming that they're going to drag this out for 5 weeks, is that Sasha is being used to bring eyeballs to this championship and to resurrect it. It could also be that they're going to blow this off in 2 to 3 weeks and maybe do Sasha versus Naomi. It's a possibility, and that would be a better match. And I, as a fairly massive Naomi fan, would be all in on that.
Yeah. Kelly, don't forget to DVR the Carmella and Corey Graves reality show that's coming up on Monday.
I saw the commercial for it, and I'm like, they finally made something I'm less likely to watch than Total Bellas. They finally managed it.
See, you know, you give them a goal, Kelly, and they'll reach it every time.
There's no bottom.
Oh, man. Mike, back to you. Any other thoughts or comments on what we said, or a different topic altogether?
Well, to give Carmella credit, though, Kelly, right? She is, though, a really, really good heel, though. Like, she does put a lot of effort into the character, though. I mean, she's not, like, that in the ring, but she is a good heel, right?
And, yes, and I especially loved her heel version that largely was at the side of James Ellsworth, because, like, he was just another victim of her heelish behavior. The way that she won the Money in the Bank ladder match the first time, if that was the heel Carmella that was still hanging around and not just, I'm so hot, yes, that would work very well. She also seems, I give her a hard time because I saw her at her worst, which is basically every time she's ever been a babyface for 5 minutes, and also her work in NXT, which was pretty rough. And that's been a while, but I remember, unfortunately. She, as a heel, seems to be very dedicated to the craft of propping up the babyface in whatever way that means. So in that sense, yes, I'm glad you challenged me a little on that, because I go at her because it's easy, and it's because it's my gimmick to take shots at Carmella, but she is quite good at that. Yeah.
Oh, what else, Mike?
But to go back to Sasha and Naomi, I mean, I guess to look at it in a positive way, if you look at it like when Sasha and Bayley held those belts, when I loved those belts, and they felt really important. So if that can happen with her and Naomi as champions, it could bring more meaning to those belts. I suppose, they would turn on each other, which I'm fine by the summertime, and then we would get Sasha versus Naomi one-on-one, which, I think would be really a great match. I was hoping that would be the match for WrestleMania, because when Naomi got in the ring, that's what I definitely thought. I thought Naomi was going to cut some kind of promo saying why she thinks she's better than the credit she gets. And I thought she was going to challenge Sasha right there to a match at Mania. That's what I was hoping for. But then when she mentioned about, the tag team titles, then I was like, that's what we're getting. But I really thought we were going to get the challenge right there. How about you guys?
Yeah, I did too. I did too. And it kind of started off with a tone of like that it might be just a, you know, babyface type thing where it's like, hey, we just want, I want to see who's best here, you know? So I kind of sensed that too. And then it obviously went a different direction, but that's how I saw it at first. Kelly, how about you?
And I think that could be an intentional tease to make us think that. And then we look back and you say, oh, they did plan this out the whole time. That's where it was always headed. Which is why I connected dots, but I don't need credit for that if that's where they're going, because I do feel like probably a lot of people saw the potential for that happening. The only thing keeping me at arm's length from this idea is they've treated Naomi as such an afterthought for so long that it would be surprising to me if she was in that position, but she absolutely does deserve.
Yeah. Yep. Mike, back to you.
I mean, yeah, and to mix in with some Ronda Rousey talk. First of all, like Rousey versus Sasha, I hope happens later this year for the title. Sasha could be one of Rousey's challengers. I think that match would be fantastic because they already had a great match. If you guys remember that one year at the Rumble, so I hope that's a match for SummerSlam. Yeah, I think that would be great.
Yeah. The proof is there. That Royal Rumble match was very good. And if you haven't seen it, definitely try to go out. I think it's a go out of your way type match to see. And I don't know. I don't really know yet who's going to walk out of WrestleMania as SmackDown Women's Champion. I mean, I don't really see Ronda Rousey, doing the job there, but. So if she walks out of WrestleMania as the winner, you want to have some solid opponents lined up for her on the other side, for sure. And for Ronda in particular, I think it has to be that top tier talent that can help, carry her to a main event level worthy match. And, Sasha Banks certainly is that. She may be in the women's tag division for a bit, but I think, if you're looking long-term of who can Rousey work with as champion, yeah, Sasha's always going to be on that short list.
Yeah, and the Rousey-Charlotte match, I'm excited about the match. I mean, their match at Survivor Series that one year was really good, if you guys remember that. So it's no doubt going to be a great match. But like you guys said, like the feud, like the pump-up to this match, yeah, there's not, chemistry. Like Ronda Rousey, she was out there tonight. She seemed more nervous and, scripted tonight than she did bad. I think if she's not scripted, she can sound decent on the mic. I think tonight she just came off really scripted and she seemed nervous out there. But a heel Rousey I think would be better. But Rousey and Charlotte, they'll have a great match at Mania, I think. And big round of Rousey fan, but I would just rather see her as a heel. I just think she's just better as a heel. And I think next year at Mania, we're going to get Rousey and Becky. I think that's the plan. Have Rousey beat Charlotte, and then Rousey defends against Becky next year. Becky will be babyface by then. Unless Vince feels Rousey's not working out, and then maybe he'll just have Charlotte retain. But other than that, I think the plan is for Rousey to beat Charlotte. But the plans could always change.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, there's 5 weeks is a long time. So, yeah, absolutely. Things could change. And we'll see. Again, hopefully they can heat that thing up a little bit more. Because even if they have a good match or can have a good match, you want there to be some anticipation for it. So they got a long way to go. Mike, thanks. Any final comments tonight before we move on to some other callers to get them in?
Hey, just one more question. You think, because I heard the original plan was Sasha versus Charlotte. Do you think there's heat with Sasha on Rousey? Because maybe Rousey got Sasha's spot. That's interesting there. I wonder if Sasha's upset about that.
Kelly, what do you think?
I think everything we know about Sasha suggests that she is 100% angry about that. The question is, how does she handle that disappointment? I think she can and perhaps even should be upset about it. Whether or not she should have gotten that, I'll be honest. I wouldn't have been excited about a Charlotte-Sasha match on paper for WrestleMania. It feels very, very, very over and done with. You'd really have to build it in a new way to make that match interest me. It's like how they threw Cena and Orton out there for the 15th pay-per-view in a row. And it was like, I don't care what you're doing storyline-wise. There is no way I'm going to engage with this. I'll give it like half of one eyeball. that's as much as I can manage. So I don't know for sure that there's heat here. No way for me to know. But I doubt very much. If they knew that they had Ronda, then Ronda was the plan the whole time. That's the way WrestleMania is handled. That's the way it's done. And I don't think Vince will care how bad she comes off as long as people tune in. I don't think she'll care. So I don't know. I would not put a lot of stock in the idea that the original plan was Sasha versus Charlotte. I think if they knew they had Ronda, it was always, always, always Ronda.
Yeah.
Ronda's
not coming back. Yeah, you could do a story. I just think, you know, Ronda's not coming back if she's not going to be in this match, period. You know?
Right.
The other thing to consider, too, is that, you know, I mean, I don't know what Sasha, you know, what her other commitments are. You know, maybe they just felt like if she's not going to be able to kind of come back, quote unquote, until, you know, 5 weeks out, that, hey, you know, that's fine. You go do your thing, but you're going to be on WrestleMania, but we're just going to, you know, we're going to be in a different direction because of that. So that could be at play here, too. So, I mean, Sasha Banks on the Broken Skull Sessions, you know, talked about Ronda Rousey in great detail and how she was, she did feel slighted that, like, you know, Rousey's going to come in and, you know, be featured as this top act and get paid as a top act. And she said that, yeah, it did kind of put a chip on her shoulder. So I'm sure that that's there. I don't know if it manifests in heat, but I mean, I think, you know, for anybody at that level, I think it's gonna sting a little bit, even if you do have something good going on the other side.
Could always,
Mike.
Like I say, you could always do a great story with Rousey and Sasha about, like, you know, Sasha could say, Rousey, you stole my spot at WrestleMania, and then you could do a big SummerSlam angle on that. That would be great. I would love that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Mike, thanks. I appreciate it. Great contributions to the show. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too. All right, we'll keep it going here with 910. 910, thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Please state your name and where you're calling from. 910, are you there? Okay, we're going to put 910 on hold, and we are going to go to 410. This is Reverend Keith. Reverend Keith, welcome to the show. What do you think of SmackDown?
How you doing, Zach, and how are you, Spooky Milk?
That is me, Spooky Milk, all over the – you know what? Thanks, because I forgot to mention that. All over social media, I am at Spooky Milk or at SpookyMilk.games. Rev Keith always has my back. Love talking to him.
Yes. Listen,
what did you show tonight,
Rev? I thought it was moving forward. It's progressing. That's the proper way of putting it. And I agree with Mike. I agree with Kyle. And I'm just going to briefly mention this, that at least they're putting card. I know it seems like they are defining her down by placing her with Naomi in this tag team title hunt. But, hey, it could be much worse. I do like the fact that they are trying with the women. It seems like they're trying to build more women's matches, not just on the road to WrestleMania, but on the card itself. And I do agree with the other callers that Ronda as a babyface just doesn't sell, man. I mean, it just looks like it's so forced. even when she tries to smile when she's coming down the ramp, it just seems forced. And I know she had to talk with Vince McMahon, and she's still a little upset about the way the fans treated her when she left. But it seems like it's a mental thing. She's going to have to block that out, because most of us avid and true wrestling fans and wrestling journalists and podcasters, we know. We can see it. I mean, you can't fake it like she's trying to fake it and get away with it. And it just, you know, somehow after this match with Charlotte, because I do want to point out to Mike that, believe me, Vince shelled out the money to bring in Ronda. She's not going to lose at WrestleMania. So once she gets that belt off of Charlotte, then hopefully they'll start moving her in the direction of turning heel, because I think she'll be more natural, you know, because she comes off as rugged, even in interviews outside of wrestling. So I think that will work. I think, you know, they just need to continue to build and start building up some of the newer talent. Once they do that, then they won't be in such a bind, you know, when they get to these big shows. You know, they need to just build up some of the Xia Lis, the Aaliyahs, and, you know, don't just rely on the Sashas, Charlottes, Baileys, Oscars, you know, and that's the problem right now. There's nobody underneath these top stars. You have all these women on the roster, but they're just there, you know, and Dana wouldn't even be on TV if she wasn't in that 24/7 title hunt. So what are your thoughts on them perhaps progressively building up the women's roster as a whole on the road to WrestleMania? Thank you so much for taking my call, gentlemen. Have a good night.
Zach, you there?
Yes, I am. I was on mute because there is a lot of emergency activity going on right outside my house. So, I hope everything's okay. But if you hear sirens, that's why. They're right next door.
Zach lives next door to Madcap Moss. It can now be it can now be revealed.
So, yes, he's my neighbor. Yep.
You know what? Actually, he lives in Minnesota. He might be my neighbor. So I'll jump in. I'm talking anyway. The women. I think that this might be a targeted attempt to actually rebuild this division, strengthen this division, and make it not so top heavy. And not only am I pleased, I am surprised, because everything we heard in the rebrand of NXT and the little changes that we saw on the main roster was that they were going to make it a little bit more about TNA and a little bit less about wrestling. And I guess I just assumed that with NXT, they ripped the Band-Aid off. Like, it was not very gradual. They went to the version of NXT that is now extremely quickly. And so I thought we were going to get a return to women's wrestling genuinely not mattering very quickly. And I would hazard to guess that a lot of the women in that division were very worried about the direction that things might be headed. So I'm very pleased if they are giving this extra work to the women's division. We can argue the merits of a 2-night WrestleMania, of a 3-night Wrestle Kingdom in New Japan, and all these major shows, and whether that diminishes the meaning of the show, which, by the way, it does by definition. If it means that they find themselves forced to feature more people, to elevate more people, to make them WrestleMania ready, actually to warrant being on this card, then I guess it's a net positive for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm there. I'm right there with you. You know, I think it's a good thing. I mean, you being the NXT guy, I mean, you said you're not a fan of what is happening with NXT 2.0, but, you know, seeing the foundation that they're laying here on the main roster, I mean, who in NXT could come up and help, fill slots right now?
for the women?
Yeah.
Dakota Kai is about a year, maybe two, overdue to be on the main roster. She is very, very good. And the only thing they have managed to do is tweak her character farther away from what she does best. It is mind-boggling to me that she found the perfect heel persona for herself, and they decided to make her crazy and talk to an imaginary friend. And she just can't really do it. Like, she's okay at it, but
nobody really can.
Because it's so gimmicky. They gave her like a degree of difficulty 10 when she found herself in this mean and self-absorbed, but also occasionally whimsical and funny character. She really was at home. The version of Dakota that should have hit the main roster. Now she's in a character. I don't even know what this character would do other than flounder fairly quickly on the main roster. Like, she'd have to be thrown into something big right away. They don't have a lot of main roster ready talent there. They've put a lot of effort into Raquel Gonzalez. And I will just be blunt. I don't think she's good enough. I know they want to use her. I know that they want her to be probably a top heel. She's large and imposing and strong, and all those things are real. But on the mic, she is absolute death, just death. And it, to this point, it's still that bad. They have Mandy Rose stinking up the title there, and they have her two cronies, one of which, Gigi Dolan, I think probably not super far away from genuinely being ready. I would keep her down there a little longer, mm-hmm. but I think she could be a boon once she hits the main roster. It'll be interesting to see what Vince would actually think of her and how he'd use her. Because I don't see an obvious way there, unless he brings up Toxic Attraction all at once. But for the most part, they got women that are not, they're either far away or even further away. I like Indy Hartwell, but I think that can and should still be a little bit further away. They had women who were ready, like Frankie Monet, but fired her. So what do you say?
Yeah, no, good stuff. There you go, folks. Your taste of PWT Talks NXT for Tuesday night on the PW Torch Daily Cast. Okay, we'll finish up the caller portion here with Javier. Javier, welcome on into the show. Great to talk to you as always, man. What'd you think of SmackDown?
Hey, Zach. Hey, Kelly. I assume I'm not getting my jingle played.
You know, I'm afraid I'm going to take the show off the air. Girl, hold on. You know what? If I take the show off the air, you know, you got to call Wade and tell him what happened. But here we go.
I'll take the responsibility for it.
You're taking the heat. You're taking the heat. All right. Are we back? Are we here?
Hey, we're still on.
Fantastic.
I didn't
well
know
worth,
whoever wrote that.
Well like... worth possibly losing the show to get that jingle in.
I do. It's only the second time. And, you know, I didn't thank the person who wrote it. So, you know, that was awesome. So thank you. I'm generally bad at that. But yeah.
That's fantastic.
I thought it was an okay show. I loved the ending promo. I think this was might be my favorite Roman Reigns promo, like how he says, I own all this, and just started listing stuff that he owns. I've been around 9-year-olds who've done that. But when he's like, these are my commentators, they talk, you know, they praise me. I thought it was awesome. I really enjoyed it. Paul Heyman just acting the, you know, now listen here, I am tired of your attitude. That was awesome.
That was great.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed the thing. Although Kelly, you mentioned you seem to always be on shows where there's a contract signing. I'm like, they do it so often that's not really that hard of a that's not really that unlikely.
Right. Yeah, I guess yeah, there's probably about 10 or 12 of them a year, so I guess it's not that surprising.
Yeah, so but I'll be honest, I at this point I don't care about WrestleMania, I don't care about AEW Revolution. I only care right now for the Pat McAfee show where he's interviewing Vince McMahon.
Yeah. That is big news, you know, and there's some other news, you know, breaking on Twitter right now that I don't, you know, I'm not gonna spoil, but you can check pwtorch.com a little bit later for that. But yeah, I mean, that's big news. I mean, you saw McAfee have what I thought it was a really candid interview with Brock Lesnar, and then tonight on SmackDown, yeah, they announce in a pretty big way, here's where to listen, Pat McAfee show, Vince McMahon, one, you know, going to be live in studio as well. So I'm looking forward to that for sure. I'm not a, you know, a P1 viewer or listener of Pat McAfee's show, but I'll be tuning in on this one, Kelly.
Yeah, it's Vince is literally the easiest person in wrestling to take swipes at. I mean, Carmella maybe, but really, really close to the easiest. But when he talks, the wrestling world must listen. They must.
Yep.
Because nobody has ever been more successful. And we've seen him at some high points and some low ones. And it will be interesting right now. I'm more interested in the headspace of the current Vince McMahon than I think I ever have been, because he really seems to be just coasting and playing with his favorite toys while he's still got the time to do so. That really, really seems to me like what's going on. It really feels to me like he doesn't care a lot about paltry things like ratings when he's getting $55 million paydays from Saudi Arabia. I want Pat to challenge him with those questions. Does Pat have to stop short of those questions because he gets paid by Vince McMahon?
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath on that one. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a, I get the sense that, I mean, obviously I don't think Vince McMahon is going to be doing like a, you know, tell all interview anytime soon with anybody, but let alone, you know, Pat McAfee. So I'm sensing here, as interesting as it will be, and to your point, Kelly, like when Vince McMahon does something like this, you're going to listen. This is, to me, more of a PR thing than some sort of, you know, in-depth interview, you know? And that's my sense. Javier, what do you think?
I don't think we're going to get much on the, you know, business other than, you know, WWE platitudes, but I'm curious because, you know, the whole point is, you know, his interviewee is comfortable and they just start talking about, you know, stuff that's like on their mind, you know, like, you know, mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar seemed very comfortable in the situation and just, you know, chatting it up, you know, like two people just having a conversation. And that's what I'm most intrigued about. Like, you know, what, you know, where is this conversation going to go? You know, what's he going to talk about, you know? That's what I'm, you know, yeah, most interested in, you know, more getting into his headspace than, you know, anything that he might say about the company, you know?
Yeah. Yep. For sure. Yeah. This will be news. No doubt about it. What else, man?
Well, just quick correction for you, Kelly. You, said WrestleMania is a 2-night event. It's a 3-night event. You have WrestleMania Saturday, WrestleMania Sunday, and you also have WrestleMania Backlash.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I guess that's actually even closer to Wrestle Kingdom than I thought, because their third one was like 6 days later, and it was an inter-promotional event. But they went with the Wrestle Kingdom name because they're gonna squeeze that stone and get everything they can out of it.
Yep. Because I realized that. I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot about Backlash. And it feels the same way, too, because it's like, you know, that third night of Wrestle Kingdom did not feel like Wrestle Kingdom at all in the slightest. You know, and then, you know, Backlash is the same thing. It's like not really WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a waste of the brand, you know. I
want the hooks back. I want the Backlash hooks back.
Yes.
They were so cool.
Stage and everything. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Back in the Undertaker era, you know, where it looked creepy and cool. I thought the Shotzi Sasha Banks thing was almost embarrassing, you know, because it just brought to mind that they had been feuding and then the feud just petered out with no resolution, and now they're trotting this on stage, and Michael Cole's like, oh yeah, these two have had issues in the past, and it's all for, you know, all the attention was on the whole Naomi showing up, or, you know, why is Naomi here? And then, you know, her having a hard time with the headset, and then, you know, the match is over in you know, I'm assuming 2 minutes. I didn't time it. And then, you know, just for the announcement, and it's like, man, how much, if you were in any way, shape or form invested in Shotzi, and then, you know, Shotzi wrestling, Sasha Banks, what a disappointment.
Yeah. I mean, Shotzi's in a real tough position. I mean, Sasha, like, you know, did what she could there. And yeah, it was not a great moment of the show, but, you know, Shotzi quickly kind of came in and did the heel turn. And now she's just kind of around, Kelly. I mean, there's just not much to her at this point. And, you know, even in the 2 minutes match that they had, you know, she was late on one of the moves off the ropes, and that some of her punches were really just not good. I kind of feel like she's a bit of a lost soul up there on the main roster right now.
Yeah, I thought that it was maybe a little quick for her to go up. She had some time in NXT, but I thought she could have used more. When she started being a favorite down there, I was like, I don't know, everyone. I think we got to pump the brakes on this. I don't know that she's ready. And she was very, very bad on the mic. Her yelling out, "Welcome to the ball pit," for no reason, with no explanation, by the way. That's not just a thing people know about, the ball pit, was odd. And I still think her proclivity to scream things that only the camera needs to catch to be effective are bizarre. I thought it was very strange that she screams, "Welcome back, Sasha," when she's like half a foot away from Sasha and like yelling it out like she's a middle school actor trying to project to the audience when literally it's only got to be caught by the camera. I just don't know. She got me. She got me after a while on NXT, but I was still worried that everything happened a little too quick for her. And now I see her just completely floundering up there. And I'm sure that I was right about that. And it's really, really too bad to see, because I think there's genuine untapped potential there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, she was really, you know, protected down in NXT just in an environment standpoint. You're not dealing with Vince McMahon and a bunch of writers. You know, it's a different pace. And yeah, even if you're a little not ready, it's that being not ready is exasperated when you get into a new environment. So yeah, I'm kind of with you, Javier. I thought that was a low point of the show for sure.
Hey, Kelly, you mentioned about the ball pit. Is there a hidden meaning to that I'm not aware of? Because I just figured it was like, you know, I remember the time I spent in Chuck E. Cheese and the scars, both physical and emotional, I have of dealing with, you know, being thrown into a ball pit in those locations. So I figured that's what she was referring to.
The scars you're supposed to take from Chuck E. Cheese are the fact that animatronics are horrifying. That's what you're supposed to take. you're supposed to weep openly
also,
when you're there. That's true. You did only say you had. Yes. The existence of said scars does not preclude the existence of further scarring. I guess that's the only thing I came up with. But it's not a real badass thing to say to talk about the ball pit, which is a purely fun thing where, yeah, I suppose you can get hurt. I don't know, man. Yeah, I hope there's a hidden meaning because the obvious one is kind of stupid.
Well, I mean, it worked in the indie scene because of the whole, you know, she also had the whole, you know, her whole gimmick, her whole look. And it's like, you know, and it's playing up on the whole idea that, you know, you leave kids alone. It's like all of a sudden Lord of the Flies, kind of gimmick joke. But yeah, for the main roster, I think I when I saw her, like, cause I had seen her like, cause she had like a brief stint in, Evolve before she went over to NXT, and I'm like, you know, I liked her look, you know, very reminiscent of Tank Girl, and and I kind of get what they're going for, but like that always felt like it was more like if you had a company that had actual tiers, mid tier, and they don't treat everybody 50-50, I would think that she would have fit well in that middle tier. But, you know, the thing is that sometimes they're thrown, you know, wrestlers in the main roster, you know, thrown in, as you know, you're going to be, I don't think she was ready for that, you know, and that gimmick wasn't ready for that. So I kind of felt, you know, bad when, you know, with how everything ended up turning up. And it also doesn't help that they basically, like, you know, like I said, the whole thing started petering out mid storyline, because I mean, didn't that also overlap with was it Toni Storm who also was involved? Was Toni Storm involved with somebody else?
In what?
I don't remember now. With Sasha Banks.
I think Toni. Yeah. Well, they had that. They had a match together, I think. But I think it was Toni Storm. Yeah. But then obviously she left the company.
Yeah, because I feel like I cursed her, because I think I was on with you when I said that didn't like the fact that I think it was Sasha cut her promo for her, and that wasn't a good sign.
Yes,
and then, like,
yep,
the following week she was gone. So
yeah,
I still kind of feel bad for that.
You
know, yeah, but
you win that one. Yep.
I mean,
yeah,
Tony cutting her own promos didn't do her any favors. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Not surprised she didn't get a cut her own. But if somebody, who's bad at promos like Sasha is cutting your promos for you, that probably really drives home where you're at.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's pretty much all I got. It was a pretty light episode. Playing anything new? Dave?
Yeah, it was.
What's that? Playing anything new? Yes, Immortals Fenyx Rising. I have sunk a lot of hours into Immortals Fenyx Rising. What do you play on?
When it comes to, I'm right now in video game wise, I'm playing. I got back into Pokemon. God help me. I started just messing around with that. But board game wise, I ended up picking up Eclipse. I've played it before, but I think it was one of the games that got me into the hobby. So, you know, I'm like, screw it. It's more than I wanted to pay. I think it was like $100. I'm like, but screw it. Pick up the new edition. And that's what I got sitting here and waiting for my friend to get better so I can, you know, go over to his place and play it. So,
my wife, daughters and I are playing Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion. We're on like the fifth of 25 challenges. We played Calico the other day. That's fun. It's breezy. It's easy. We put a lot of the really good stuff, Quacks of Quedlinburg and Azul, things like that between. And then my brother and I are still religiously playing Lord of the Rings. What's the subtitle of it? God, we've only played it.
Middle Earth.
400 hours?
Or...
Journeys in Middle Earth. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yep. I wanted to pick that one up, but that's another one that's kind of like right now I'm trying to keep it under 40. So,
yeah.
you know. But yeah, I'm gonna DM you something. See if you might be interested in something. So be on the lookout for that. And if you're cool with it, I'll run it by Wade. So, so that's pretty much all I have, guys. So,
awesome.
I wish you a good night.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Javier. Always good to talk to you, man. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll wrap up our caller portion there. And Kelly, there's just a couple more things that I want to just run by you here before we put a bow on this thing today. The Ronda Rousey is wrestling next week. She's going to face Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville on tonight's show attacked her from behind, and Adam Pearce scolds Deville backstage, and she gets word that she is going to be in a match against Ronda Rousey. I mean, is there any reason to read any more into that other than Rousey gets a quick win? They'll try to pop a rating with Ronda on the show, and that's it. Or do you see this as an avenue to, you know, maybe get some heat into this Charlotte and Rousey feud?
I think it serves both purposes. You do use this to sell SmackDown next week, and you do get a relatively quick win over Sonya, who I think is great, but in this role at this time, you job her fairly quick to Ronda. And that's fine right now. I wouldn't build to a pay-per-view match and job her in a minute like they did Ruby. But yes, this version of Sonya right now can absorb that loss. But yes, there's no excuse because you need so much help right now with Charlotte and Ronda not to build further to that. Ronda probably in all of wrestling, the worst role for her might be WWE babyface. She might be a good babyface somewhere else because they would let her turn loose and it would work. But if you give someone who fights for a living a live mic to be a babyface, they're either going to go way over the line into heel land, or they're going to say a lot of things they shouldn't say on, at least on PGTV. and I think that's the issue. She sounds so memorized, so careful, so measured, because they're probably more worried about what she's going to say if she has to improvise than anybody else on the roster. I just don't – it's just such a bad – position for her to be in, but it's the one they find her in.
Yeah. I mean, it does feel forced, and it feels like, you know, it's inauthentic. You know, I think you saw the real kind of Ronda Rousey wrestling personality a couple years ago with the Becky stuff, and when she was leaning into the heel thing, like that's her personality turned up. She's odd, you know, she's awkward, and you know. She's kind of just really quirky. And if you tell her to strip all that away and just smile and slap hands as you're heading down to the ring, I mean, you take away a lot of that natural charisma. And I think that's what they have here. And so, you know, ordinarily you'd have an opponent that tries to bring out that side in you. But I don't know that Charlotte, you know, either is able to or even has an interest to at this point either.
Yeah, I don't know that she cares about, I don't want to say that, but the craft of wrestling, that's not what brought her to the table. But she will take these large paydays if Vince is offering them. I don't want to say she's not committed to the craft, but she didn't grow up, I don't think, wanting to be a pro wrestler like most pro wrestlers did.
Yeah. Right. Yep. All right, Kelly. Well, anything else in your notes that you want to bring up about tonight's show that we didn't get to, or that's on your mind that you just have to get off your chest before we shut it down for the night?
G1 Climax 23 in 2013, Shinsuke Nakamura absolutely setting the world on fire. He comes over here 2 years after that, and 5 years after that, he finds himself still stuck in America hawking Japanese cars. That is what he did on the show today. He and Boogs sold the Toyota Tundra. It's just so – it just blows my mind where he was and where he is now. I don't know. There were only four matches on this show. We didn't talk about the longest one, Kofi and Big E versus Los Lotharios. The only thing I want to say about it is that although Michael Cole slipped up or whatever and called him New Day a couple of times, and the screen said New Day, the announcers and the screen, like, hyping the match only called them Kofi Kingston and Big E. It never referred to them as New Day. So it's like they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to give us the New Day act, but they also want to make it be like, see, we didn't totally run away from these singles pushes these guys got. It seems like they're being really, really careful with the way they promote these guys in case they want to use one or both in a high-level position again. So they didn't call them New Day. They just said Kofi Kingston and Big E.
Good catch. Yep. And yeah, they were all over the place with that tonight. And, you know, and Michael Cole is the greatest wrestling announcer in the history of wrestling. I don't know if you caught that, Kelly, but it's true.
Another full heel turn for Pat, just for saying that.
Yeah, that's what he had to say in order to get Vince McMahon on his show. Oh my gosh. You're right about the New Day. The match, I thought the match was good. I thought probably the best match of the night, I think.
Oh, yeah. There was a no doubter. Yep. That was great.
Really good match. I think it just, you know, it speaks to how good, you know, yes, how good they are as a tag team, but just the audience is invested in those guys. You know, it's crazy that that push for Big E and Kofi dating back a handful of years ago, you know, when you see that reaction to them, like it is mind boggling that they didn't stay with that push, either one of those pushes longer, because there's clearly something there. I mean, people buy into those matches, and tonight in a random kind of match against Los Lotharios, like the audience has no business really being that hot for that match, but they were. And I think it has a lot to do with how over, you know, the New Day is.
Yeah. They've stopped short of these guys a lot. I want to say it's still true that the New Day has never won a WrestleMania match. I think that is still true.
Really?
Yeah. I'm almost positive. I'd have to look it up to see again, but I remember thinking even a few years ago, like when they were coming out of the massive cereal box, that they had never won one, and they didn't win that one. And then they jobbed as champions in a non-title six-man to that crappy new Un-Americans team, like the League of Nations, did they call it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they lost that, and that only existed so the League of Nations could beat Wade Barrett out of the company. And there was no good reason, if that was going to be the finish, for New Day not to win that match, but they didn't get to.
That's crazy. Yeah. That. Wow.
And I'll look at it. Somebody might be screaming at me out there like, dude, they obviously won the one. but I don't think they won the one. Just like Bobby Fish never won a singles match on NXT. That is my favorite NXT stat. Not
trivia
a...
of the night. I love it. All right, man. Well, we'll wrap things up right there. Thanks so much to all the callers. Very much appreciate it. Kelly, thanks for joining the show. It's a blast talking to you, man. But plug once again all your stuff and all those appearances all over Torch VIP and otherwise on a weekly basis.
Go back 1 week. You can listen to the Rampage show with Tyler Sage and me talking Rampage. You can check out PWT Talks NXT, but for two separate and extremely different reasons. I missed the last 2 weeks, but I am on it about 2/3 to 3/4 of the time. We do rotate out and use a lot of guests there as well, so we don't get burnt out on what is NXT 2.0. You can listen to me on NXT 8 years back. I never get burnt out on that. That's a VIP show. That's Tom Staupe and I talking about NXT from 8 years ago and also talking movies for about the last third of the show, this is a great time to jump in and listen to PWT Talks NXT, because the one that's about to drop is going to be the first ever, well, I say the first ever takeover, but it was called NXT Arrival. That show, yes, the one that opened with Sami Zayn versus Cesaro, the dearly departed Cesaro. That is what we recorded just a couple of days ago, just hours before we found out that Cesaro was no longer in the company. You find me on social media at Spooky Milk, on Twitter, talking wrestling and trying to avoid Twitter because it's Twitter. And then you can find me on Instagram at spookymilk.games, where I talk about board games because I am a board game designer, working on the third and fourth right now. But oh my God, they are in development hell and there's so much more to do and it's a job that you're never quite sure when it is done. That is how creative stuff works, folks.
It sure is. It sure is. Well, that's good stuff and good luck to you on that, man. It'll be fun to hear about your progress. I'm PW Torch's editor, Zach Adorn, GoVIP, pwtorch.com/GoVIP to check out a lot of different podcasts, including my own show called On the Canvas Weekly that talks about the art of wrestling. This week, we are going to dive into that MJF promo from this week's AEW Dynamite and just talk about it. Like, look at, we're going to examine it every which way, because it was a really, really well done piece of work. So look forward to that. Last week we did a deep dive on the CM Punk promo where he challenged MJF to the dog collar match. And we leave kind of like booking analysis at the door. And we're just talking about the art of whatever current event it is that we're talking about that usually drops every weekend for PW Torch VIP members. So go VIP and check that out. You can also check out pwtorch.com every day with news, columns, show reports from all the shows that happen throughout the week, and it's a lot of them these days, but we've got you covered at pwtorch.com. Make that a stop that you make for all your wrestling fix throughout the week. I've got an editorial up right now talking about Cody and his move from AEW reportedly to WWE. So a column about that that you can check out. Follow PW Torch on Twitter at PW Torch, and you can follow me on Twitter at ZHeyDornTorch. Thanks again for listening. For Kelly, I'm Zach, and we will catch you guys next time.